Fred Film Radio, from the 1st to the 8th of October, is joining the Silent Film Festival, Pordenone, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 35th Pordenone Silent Film Festival, Le Giornate del Cinema Muto, and I'm very pleased to be joined by Eva Hilscher, who is the curator of a city symphony section, which is specifically called The Other City Symphonies, because it's a follow-up of last year's edition.
Exactly, yeah.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
So it's a pleasure for me to talk about the City Symphonies, a fantastic style of film. I don't know if we can call it a genre of films. We'll talk about it with you, of course. But the first question is just quite a simple one. For those who don't even know what a City Symphony is, would you like to tell us what it is?
Already a bit a difficult question, because also in the film history writing, people have different ideas about it. Yeah. But still, there is a general idea. It's, well, the city itself is a protagonist in those films. Mm-hmm. Maybe let me first start with a period. The kind of traditional city symphonies are really from the 1920s and 1930s. Mm. And
so the interwar years.
Yes, and most of all show a day in the life of a city. Quite often they refer to a specific city. Some others have more the abstract idea of the city, like the modern city in general. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they kind of combine documentary elements with experimental elements.
Yeah.
Because a lot of filmmakers come from the avant-garde and are more have a more artistic approach to cinema. Yeah.
So does it fall in the category of documentaries?
Yes, partly. I mean, also if you look again at the film history books, you find those films mentioned in the parts on documentary film, but also experimental film. Mm-hmm. And that's also part of, as I think, is that in the time, in the 20s, the idea of what we call today documentary just emerged. And so it is kind of interesting that those films come at a time where the idea of the documentary film is formed.
But why would where did the idea originate? Let's look at maybe even the time period and what was going on. Did that come into play?
Yes, for sure, because a lot of those films focus or really want to make sure to show the modernity of the city. And of course in that time, in the 1920s, all the cities become more and more modern. I mean, since the late 19th century, the cities grew and grew, and you have these big metropolises with so many people living in it. And it was the idea to show this kind of progress and modernity. But what is interesting is, I mean, you have, in general, you have three or four big cities that you could think about of when you talk about city symphonies. You have Berlin, you have New York, Moscow, and what's the fourth one? Oh, yeah, Paris, of course.
Yeah.
But if you have a closer look, there are also films about smaller cities. Mm-hmm. So there is also modernity, of course, in the smaller cities as well.
Yeah. And actually, that's one of the wonderful things about the program this year, because some of these films are not well known. And
exactly, yeah.
We'll talk about it a little later on.
Yeah.
But first, just so that we get a clear idea of what these films look like. So the editing process, the montage, is quite important in them. And I guess it's also implied in the title of a lot of the films that refer to musical kind of styles.
Yeah. And I mean, here we come back again to this question, are there documentary films or experimental films? Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, the editing is, you often see a very, very fast editing, quite often in connection with traffic, so that the editing kind of imitates the speed of the traffic and the experience in the city, how it is really in this fast-paced city to walk through the city to just have this this new visual experience as well.
Yeah.
And then you have more or less kind of two special editing techniques they use. They see the rhythmic montage and the associative montage, that they really don't follow a narrative structure, but really more like, well, what you can visual combinations of images, yeah.
So like superimposition and abstract imagery and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And what about the music? I mean, what kind of role did it play in the construction of the film? In other words, was the music composed beforehand, afterwards? Was there some films that didn't even have music?
Well, there are actually just a few films that had an original score written for. I mean, if you think about the famous examples, one of the most famous films is, of course, Walter Ruttmann's Berlin, die Symphonie der Großstadt. And there, a special score was really composed in combination with the editing of the images. So this was really a collaboration to get together those two elements. And Ziegerwärter for Men with the Movie Cat, also very special, very specific ideas about the music. Mm-hmm. However, others are were accompanied just by contemporary musicians.
Improvised music then.
Yes, yes.
Which was kind of, you know, on the rise at the time. So that's
And it is very interesting that, I mean, those films are at the transition from silent film to sound film.
Yeah.
But still, I would say a lot of films from the 30s are still without sound. You have a couple of those who have then a musical score, or afterwards somebody produced a score for it.
Yeah.
But still, it's in general, it's really the visual music that plays a role there. Yeah.
Mm. Well, another question that I can think of about City Symphonies is, what kind of directors were making this film?
Yeah, it's very interesting because if you have a closer look, it's kind of a who is who of the important, or a lot of people from the avant-garde arts, film critics, later film historians as well coming there. Mm. So it's really coming together of different people becoming interested in the film as well. And let me maybe start or add that a lot of the filmmakers were beginning filmmakers. So a lot of those films are really their very first films, and so they also are still kind of amateur films often. And then they afterwards become more involved in partly documentary film. Some others do fictional films afterwards. So the City Symphony is also often used by the filmmakers themselves as a kind of springboard into the the film world. Yeah,
understanding the kind of filmmaking process.
Yeah,
it's a great thing that the program at this year's festival, the Pordenone Silent Film Festival, is called the Other City Symphonies. Yeah. Because City Symphonies are identified with European cinema. At least, you know, even to people that kind of have seen City Symphonies before. And also, it's usually just the same kind of titles. You mentioned Berlin Symphony of the City. Then there's The Man with the Movie Camera by Vertov. So this program really offers something different. Would you like to tell us a little bit about it? Maybe mention a few titles.
Yeah, it's very interesting that, well, as I said before, if you think about not so much the titles, but the cities, you have the... As you also said, the famous European big cities, Berlin, Paris, and then also Moscow, even though, of course, Memories and Movie Camera is not only about Moscow.
Yeah.
And then, of course, New York. But if you look at this year's program as well, you see that at least we can find films from four different continents.
Yeah.
So we have Europe, we have North America, where we showed here as well Halsted Street, about Chicago. What I found really interesting that we had a couple of films from South America as well, about Sao Paulo, the at least what I know about till now, the longest city symphony I know of,
because
it's 90 minutes.
90
so
minutes.
Even the most famous and well-known films are about an hour, and this is really a feature of 90 minutes. And a very small and very beautiful film about Buenos Aires, about the construction of the obelisk, which is a landmark in the city. Mm-hmm. And I was really very happy to have an Asian city symphony as well from about Tokyo. It's a film about the rebuilding of the city after the big earthquake at the beginning of the 20s.
It's fascinating. Just going back to maybe what we were saying before about the atmosphere in which city symphonies were made, but were they also commissioned as some sort of promotion of the city? for a certain reason.
Yes, some of them were. And it's very interesting that, I mean, I always come back to the film history writing, but if you look at the books, it's often mentioned that, yeah, those are independent films made by avant-garde artists or filmmakers who just had their very own unique idea about what they wanted to show about the city. Yeah. But if you have a closer look, there are quite a few commissioned works that let me tell you about an example. About there's a Rotterdam film which is not part of this year's program, but maybe we can screen it at a different year, hopefully.
Next year, yeah.
This is a film called The City That Never Rests, which started as an independent film. The filmmakers had the idea, let's make a film about the city, and they also had the idea, like, well, maybe we saw Berlin, maybe we can do something similar. And in the process of filming, they said, like, well, you know, it's kind of a promotion for the city, so why not approach the big guys of the city to get some funding? And in the end, there are quite a few of those films that are, of course, a promotion for the city as well. Plus, the other fact is that even a film as Berlin, die Symphonie der Großstadt, is not an independent film. It was a film made for... I hope I'm not mistaken, but for Fox Europe. So also this is not really as independent in the idea or as it is often said to be. Yeah.
Well, I could talk about cities. There's so much to talk about city symphonies, you know. But unfortunately, we're running out of time. Yeah. But I do want to ask you one more question. Maybe on a personal level, what attracts you to city symphonies in this particular area of cinema?
That's difficult. Well, no, it's actually not that difficult. I think I just really enjoy watching those images of how the city was back at the time. Mm-hmm. Just also to see people at the time, the traffic at the time. It's just really beautiful to have this kind of idea to also kind of step back in time and see how it was in the 1920s. And on the other hand, I always have this feeling like, but you know, I mean, I'm sometimes surprised in the way how modern they were, because you think, like, well, you know, this fast-paced life we have nowadays, but at the beginning of the 20th century, it was very much like this as well. So it's visual pleasure. It's really visual pleasure.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, for me, it was the first time that I saw a city symphony on the big screen, and it was a fantastic experience. And
that makes a big difference. Yeah.
Thank you very much for putting it together, because it's really terrific. Thanks very much for joining us as well for this interview.
Thank
it was a
you.
Great pleasure.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.